Catholics, Baptists, Adventists, and many other Protestant groups claim that the communion meal can be taken at any time. Many of these denominations take the communion meal every week, and many devout Catholics partake every day. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and look at a scripture. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to begin to read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. As you remember, this is right after Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, and beginning to read in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Some say that this term here, breaking of bread, was a communion service, often called in the New Testament the Passover, and that it was and could be observed not only once a year, but frequently, however many times you wanted. So these groups claim that when you read in the Bible about the apostles broke bread, that it means they were taking the Passover or the Lord's Supper or a communion meal or whatever you want to call it. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at what this term break bread means. Was it the New Testament Passover, and can we take it whenever we want? Well, first of all, I want you to consider something. If this term, break bread, is a reference to the New Testament Passover or the communion meal, then Jesus lied. And we can show that by going to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 22, beginning to read in verse 15. Luke chapter 22. Verse 15. Then he said to them, this is Jesus at the Passover evening speaking to them. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So Christ said that he would not eat of the Passover meal with the disciples until, as it says here in verse 16, it is fulfilled, and I eat it with you in the kingdom of God. Now, what does that have to do with break bread? Now, if break bread means a Passover, and Jesus said that he's not going to eat the Passover with them until the kingdom arrives, notice Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now, and it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. So what we have here is after he was risen, he broke bread with some of the disciples. We're not going to get into all the details about that, but obviously he says here that he broke bread. So if breaking bread means a Passover, then Jesus lied to them when he said he wouldn't break bread or eat the Passover with them until the kingdom arrived. Now, that's one point we have to consider. We're looking at what the word break bread means. Let me ask you another question. Should a minister give the emblems of the body and blood of Christ to those that do not believe? If breaking bread is a Passover, should you break bread with unbelievers and give them the Passover emblems? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 27. Some things to consider as we try to realize what this term break bread means. Acts 27, and beginning to read in verse 27. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, there on a ship, it's getting ready to be shipwrecked, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near to some land. And they took soundings, they let down ropes. And they, how long is a rope, how close are we to the bottom? And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. When they had gone a little further, they took soundings and found it to be 15 fathoms. So the bottom of the sea is getting closer to them. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff from the sea under pretense of putting out an anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. These are soldiers and men that were on the ship. We're looking at the term break bread. Then the sailors cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall down. That's how much respect the soldiers had for Paul. And as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them, soldiers and sailors, to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair of your hair will fall from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave it to them, thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. So here, Paul is breaking bread with the sailors and the soldiers, because it had been a long time since they had eaten because of the shipwreck and the storm and all that. We're not going to get into all the details. But here, if breaking bread means the Passover, a communion meal, then Paul was having a communion meal or the Passover with these soldiers and these people that were on a ship. As Christians, the next point, as Christians, there is a lesson for us today about the term break bread. You know what that lesson is? The misunderstanding of the term break bread clouds the real meaning. We sometimes, as I mentioned in other messages, we sometimes get very esoteric with our definitions of what words mean. And the word here, break bread, was a common term that was often used in the time period that we're talking about. We can often overlook the intended meaning. The term break bread is a common term used throughout the New Testament. It is even used in some parts of the country today. Let's get together and break bread. That doesn't mean you're going to meet with your friends and have a Passover meal or a communion meal. It means simply to eat a meal. That's what the term break bread means. They were using unleavened bread sometimes, or bread that was in very small loaves, and they would tear it or break it. And then no utensils. Forks and knives, forks and spoons were not invented till a long time later, I think sometime in the 1500s or 1400s. So they would take the bread and break it, and they would dip it into the sauce or the meat or grab it. You ever eat with a tortilla? You do the same thing. So they would break the bread in pieces and use it as scoops. And it simply meant to eat a meal. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, back where we were before. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And notice what it says in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayers. So the breaking of bread is put off by the comma from the prayers aspect. So what we have here is we have here not the apostles and the recently baptized and the recently converted and the sailors on the ship and Paul and the soldiers. They're not talking about anything spiritual. They're talking about eating a meal together. The word break bread simply means to eat a meal together. Let me ask you a question. That gets to us. How does this apply to us? You know, this ancient concept of breaking bread. How often do you break bread? Here we have the apostles breaking bread with other people, with the disciples, with everyone. It's a common term that's used among the disciples. They often broke bread together. How often do you break bread with the disciples? How often do you have people over to your house? How often do you fellowship? Do you stay for the covered dish socials and all that type of thing? We tend to think that the church is very spiritual and very esoteric, and that these things only applied in the New Testament back when there was apostles. The apostles broke bread with each other and the disciples broke bread with each other because it was a form of fellowship. It was a form of fellowship. Just as important as it was back then to break bread with each other, it's just as important for us today to break bread with each other. Some common excuses for not breaking bread together. Now, I'm not saying this is a new doctrine or anything, but I'm just saying we should be very amicable to eating together. And if you're not in the habit of eating together, you need to make it more of a habit of eating together, because that was one of the hallmarks of the disciples and the apostles. They ate together. They ate together. They didn't have a communion meal. They didn't have a Passover meal. They sat down, broke bread, gave thanks, broke bread, and had a meal with each other. Some common excuses is, I'm too busy. It's too expensive. My house is too big, too small, too clean, too dirty, etc., etc. I'm single. I'm married. Whatever the excuses are. Research has shown, and this is a subject, this is a principle we applied in our family when my children were growing up. Research has shown that one of the things that will make your family stronger is to eat your meals together. What? Something as simple as eating together? Yes, that will make your family stronger. The same principle applies to the church. Now, you know, it's not a sin if you don't eat together sometimes. But you should not avoid eating together, and you should, as a matter of habit, try to eat together with the church. God tells us in many places in the Old Testament about the example of the apostles and the disciples and how they broke bread together. And we should also do that also. I downloaded a brochure from the internet, and this is from the Iowa State University. You know, they have all kinds of extensions at various universities. This is one about how to raise healthy kids. And it says, recipe for family mealtime. You know, once again, we tend to get over very spiritual in the church. You know what one form of worship is? One form of worship is to rest on the Sabbath. Just to rest. You mean it's a form of worship to sleep on the Sabbath? Yes, it is. Because God commands us to rest. You know what you're doing when you rest on the Sabbath day? That's not the only thing you should be doing. But you know what you're doing when you rest on the Sabbath day? You're worshiping God. And so, once again, the Bible tells us in many places that we should make it a habit to eat together. Here's rules for a happy family from a purely carnal point of view. Start with one busy family. Add a strong desire to share more time together. Blend in creative ideas about when and where to eat. Stir in compliments and pleasant conversational topics. Sprinkle with good manners. Add a dash of thanks. Serve with a variety of simple, healthy foods. Yield one family with stronger communication skills and deeper feelings of connection. You know, we have ample opportunities in the church, brethren, to fellowship together and to break bread. One of the things we used to do is every Sabbath, just about, Sabbath is starting, not Saturday night, but Friday as the Sabbath is starting, we would have a meal together. Or we would have some people over to have a meal together. A lot of families, they get their food and they sit down in front of the television set. And they eat while they're watching Gunsmoke or while they're watching, you know, the Beverly Hillbillies or while they're watching whatever. That's not wrong to do that. That shouldn't be your habit, but that's not wrong to do that. God tells us we must continue in the New Testament practice of breaking bread. This is actually a Christian duty. If you haven't broken bread recently, I'd like you to consider the fact that you need to do that because it is good not only for you, but for those of you who you're breaking bread with. The term break bread is not about a communion Passover service. You're saying, oh, great. Whew, that doesn't apply to me. It does apply to you, though, because break bread means that you need to eat with the brethren. It is not that complex. On the other hand, also, although the term break bread is very simple, it is very important. It has to do with prayer, the apostles' doctrine, and simple hospitality. Notice what it says here in verse 46 of Acts chapter 2. This is what they did after they were baptized. What is a recipe for drawing together right after you're baptized in Acts chapter 2? Daily with one accord in the temple, the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So one of the things that they did that really set them apart was they were known as a group that fellowshiped together. Sharing a meal together in Christian love and service is what the term breaking bread means. So I want to encourage you. If you've been doing this, great. Very good. If you haven't been doing it, consider making it a habit. Breaking bread is not something very hard to do. It's very simple. It simply means eating a meal together.